Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Let Jesus know you love him. Amen, amen. Oh, yeah. Well, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Wow, you got to be careful what you do around Ronnie Reed, I can tell you that. My, my. Well, I love this couple, and I know that you love this couple. Yesterday afternoon, we walked through this new building, and the thought occurred to me. I tried to figure out how God works, but let me just say this. God works ahead of you and me.
Yes, he does.
And what he wants to do with people. In 1987, God had Mr. Brown to build this building out here for this church. Listen to me now. When I came here the first time, you couldn't put this crowd in the auditorium I walked through yesterday out here. I can tell you that. But God, I believe, all along, had that building saved just for this church. And for a pastor who would have a dream for it. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house. Now, I don't think God would give it to somebody that is not a second miler. You know what a second miler is? When Jesus said, if a man asks you to go 1 mile, go with him too. You look at the old Roman law, and the law was that the Jew had to take the backpack or whatever the Roman soldier had 1 mile down the road and drop it off. It was the law, and most people would do it 1 mile, and some say that the Jews would walk off 1 mile in every direction from their house because it was a law. If a Roman asked you to do it, you had to do it. You had no choice. But if you go just that mile and drop it and say, there it is, Mr. Roman soldier, that's the law, I had to do it. Second milers are people and churches who go beyond what the normal is.
All right.
A second mile church and a second mile pastor is that person that goes beyond what's expected of you. So if you're not tied, then you may not be a second miler yet. But you're going to get there. Like my young daughter loves French fries at McDonald's, and I take her often. The other day I took her to McDonald's. She loves to pour cheese all over it. I reached to get one French fry. She said, oh, Papa, these were my French fries. I said, glory to God, if I had me a belt right now. I thought to myself, I bought the French fries. I could buy her a dump truck full of French fries, and she didn't want me to have one. That's like some tithers, you know. I won't talk about that, but God gave you a job, a good job. God gave you a way to make money, and he just wants 10%. But what am I on this? Take your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 41. I want to talk to you this morning on three things, and I'll take my seat. First of all, the title of the message would be Going from Setbacks to Comebacks. Now, in a crowd this size, there's probably somebody in this house that's going through a setback. It could be a setback with your spouse. Could be a setback with your finances. It could be a setback on the job. There's all kinds of ways you can have a setback with a teenage son or daughter that gets on drugs or alcohol. There's all kinds of ways you can have a setback. But in the life of Joseph, we'll see three things. Number one, God can take you from the mess you're in right now to the place he wants you to be. Oh, yes, he can. Second thing he can do for you, as he did for Joseph, is God will put people into your future that you don't even know is going to be there yet. In fact, if some of you knew who was in your future, you'd be up shouting right now. Third thing is, God's timing is always perfect. It doesn't matter when he shows up, he is always on time. Some thought he was late getting to Lazarus' funeral, but he was on time. Look at it. Genesis 41, beginning with verse number 37 through 44. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath thrown thee, has shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all, everybody say all, the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vesture of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, that is, as he came down the street, they had to say, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Everybody shout amen in the house. Going from setbacks to comebacks. You say, well, preacher, I can just tune you out because I'm not going through a setback. You just keep going to bed every night. You keep getting up every morning. Have you some children along the way? Grandchildren. It'll come to your house if you live long enough.
That's the truth.
But the problem is not going through the setbacks. It is, it won't be long that God will bring you to a comeback.
Hallelujah.
You might have heard about this man. He died December the 15th, 1966, or 65. He was 66 years old. His name was Walt Disney. When he started out, he faced many setbacks. In his early 20s, the Kansas City Star fired him because they said he had no imagination. Well, imagine that. When he was in his mid-20s, he created Oswald the Rabbit only to have Universal Studios to steal it from him and make it their own. Then he came up with the idea of creating Mickey Mouse. And he was told he would never make it. Well, fast forward to 2017. If he could see it now. 27,000 acres Disney sits on. 200,000 employees, 20 million people will come to Disney this year alone. And by the way, if you want to purchase it, you'll have to fork out $104 billion. I'd say he's a comeback. In the life of Joseph, it's no different. And it's no different in your life. You will have setbacks. But you see, God wants us to know that we should never doubt in the dark what he's already shown us in the light. And when God showed Joseph a dream, he had to hold on to that dream. And first of all, God can take you from the mess you're in right now to the place he wants you to be. Now, I want you to see this because it's important to know that Joseph's father, Jacob, in the Hebrew, his word means old tricky one. And so he was a trickster. He would not be looked upon as being a leader with the kind of reputation he had. But nevertheless, Joseph came out of a mess. I mean, when you think about it, Jacob, as he was dying, or his daddy was dying, he went in and falsified himself as being Esau, even though they were twins. He cheated his brother out of the birthright. You know the whole story. The oldest son always got the birthright. He got the car in the driveway. He got the leftover of the savings. He got the CDs down at the bank. It was all the first son that was born. And so he tricked him out of it. And then he fell in love with a girl named Rachel and worked 7 years to have her as his wife. And then he went on his honeymoon with her, what he thought, and lifted up the veil. It wasn't Rachel. It was Leah, Rachel's oldest sister. How'd you like to have that? But then he worked 7 more years for Rachel. She must have been a knockout to work that long. And then Rachel got into a contest with Leah, and they both give Jacob a concubine to sleep with, and they give him children. And so here you have Jacob with 4 women and 12 children under one tent. Now, you don't have to have a PhD in family counseling to know they were in a mess. But out of that mess came a little boy named Joseph. Ooh, my Lord, have mercy. I'm trying to tell somebody, it doesn't matter what kind of mess you are in, God can take you from the mess you're in right now to the place he wants you to be. Give him a hand clap of praise in this house. My Lord, have mercy. Number two, God can put people into your future that you don't even know is going to be there yet. Do you think when Joseph was sent by his father to check on his brothers and the sheep at 17 years of age, he said, oh my goodness, my future is my brother's going to put me in the pit. My brother's going to sell me off to slavery. I'm going to go to Egypt and work for Potiphar. I'm going to end up in jail, in prison, but thank God there will be a butler and a baker there waiting on me. No. He had no idea that God would put the butler and the baker in the prison just for when Joseph showed up. Do you see it? And whatever God did for Joseph, he'll do for you and me. It doesn't matter what kind of mess you're in. God can put people into your future. I was thinking about this morning. I was looking over my notes that there are people in this house, like Ronnie Reed and his wife and Roger Cash and others in this house that God put into my future, and thank God that it made me a better person by knowing people. And so here's Joseph sold off to slave traders. Instead of killing him, they decided, let's set him off, make money off of him. And he went down there, and Potiphar got him and put him in his house. And there they were, 17-year-old slave boy working in the house of Potiphar and Mrs. Potiphar. And there he was in that place. And here comes Potiphar's wife, old Sugar Lips, I call her. She comes over and said, "Hey, Joe, come on in the bedroom with me and lay down with me." "Oh, now listen, we won't do anything. I just need to talk. You just don't know how Potiphar treats me. He's working all the time. He never gives me time." "Come on." And Joe said, "No, I'll not do that. I'll not disappoint my God. I'll not disappoint the man that hired me. No, I'll not do it." And then the Bible says the next day she comes along and says, "Hey, Joe, me again. Come on, let's go. Let's go have a little fun. Just need a little counseling from you. Just a little talk." Joseph said no. And the Bible said day by day by day, she's after Joseph. She said, "I've let the staff go home. Nobody here but you and me. Come on, Joe, let's go in here." She must have been the first desperate housewife. Day by day by day, she was after Joe. But thank God for a man that said, "I'd rather lose my coat than to lose my character. I'd rather lose my position than to lose my purity." Oh, come on, somebody. He held himself to the God that he loved and said, "I will not disappoint my God." Lord, give us more people like Joseph. But as he ran, left her his coat in her arms, that became Exhibit A. When Mr. Potiphar got home, "Oh, honey, it was awful. This slave boy that you hired trying to rape me. Look here, here's his coat. Here it is right here. Here's the evidence." Now, let me ask you a question. I look back on my life. I got a lot of whippings, but the one I remember the most is the one I didn't deserve. I got some I deserved. I got away with some things I should have had a whooping for. You say, "You mean whipping, don't you?" I mean whooping. You say, "What's the difference between a whipping and a whooping?" If you ever get one, you'll know the difference. You get a lot of whippings in life. You get very few whoopings in life. Well, you don't forget those whoopings. My daddy, you know, he couldn't count to three like they do today. And it didn't matter if it was Walmart, if we was in the car, if he wanted to whip us, he'd whip us. But the ones I remember the most are the ones that when they used to, there was a time whenever not only your mom and daddy could whip you, but neighbors could whip you. Anybody remember that? You have to be old, remember that. Your grandma and your grandpa could whip you and would do it. But I remember when they lined us up, when you get all of us cousins together, when we were about that mean, I mean about that high, I mean we'd get into mischief. And they'd line us up. And I remember I was in the back of the line, and I started crying because I knew what was coming. And when I got to crying, we got dispersed, and they forgot. If they saw me crying, they thought I'd already got it. And one of my sorry, low-down, good-for-nothing cousins said, "Y'all didn't whip Jimmy over there." Well, they got off the truck. They were going to get water down at the creek. Well, you don't remember that, but we had running water. If you'd run, get it. They got off the truck and whipped me. And what they had done, they slipped off and was smoking. And I didn't have any of that. Well, I wasn't an angel, but I didn't smoke maybe that day. But I got a whipping for something I didn't do. Joseph was thrown in the prison for something he did not do. But you don't see him whine about it. You don't see him running around saying to the butler baker boy, I tell you, sorry people, they've run me down, they've done this. No, he wasn't a whiner. I used to tell my staff here in Florida and also North Carolina, I said, look, when we have, I don't want to have an employee that's whining all the time in here. Don't whine. God, Jesus can turn water into wine, but he can't turn whining into anything. Don't whine. I tell my grandkids that every Christmas. When you come in this house, leave your whining outside. I don't like whining. Amen. Somebody's got it worse than you somewhere.
That's right.
Don't whine. You probably got it better than most. Here, when he was thrown into prison, here was a butler and the baker already there just for Joseph. Now, I don't know if the baker burned the biscuits or if the butler forgot to pick up the cleaners. But whatever the case is, they were thrown into prison, I believe, just for Joseph. Because they had a dream. Oh, yeah, they had this dream, and Joseph could interpret the dream. And he said, hey, I know what that means there. Mr. Butler, that means that, hey, in 3 days you're going to return back to Pharaoh's house. Oh, sorry, Mr. Baker, but in 3 days Pharaoh is going to make you a foot shorter at the top. He's going to cut your head off. That must have blessed him. You see, God had them there because they had a dream. Joseph translated it. And I believe God had them there just for when Joseph would show up. God can put people into your future. Could be a spouse. It could be this pastor. It could be anybody coming down the road. But God has a way of showing up through other people. He uses people. Yeah, he does. He uses people. Oh, I read not long ago where if you had a chess player that is a professional and he's playing with an amateur chess player, when the amateur chess player makes his first move, the chess player can think 30 moves ahead to checkmate. Now, I don't know what that says to you, but here's what that says to me. If a mortal man can think 30 moves ahead with an amateur chess player to checkmate, how far is God ahead of you and me? Oh, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
I'm trying to tell somebody, if you will receive it, that God can put people into your future that you don't even know as you sit here right now who it is and where they're going to be. But God can do it. Can he do it?
Yes,
yes, he can do it. I wonder how long it would took. You see, Joseph was in prison 13 years. I wonder, if that had been me, I said, Lord, I just don't understand this. I'm preaching your word, trying to get people saved. Lord, what in the world is going on here? But God was taking Joseph from a setback to a comeback. Can I tell you that it took all of his brothers treating him the way they did? It took selling him off to the right person in Egypt. It even took old Sugar Lips chasing him around the house. It took all of that to get him into prison. And then God says, I know what I'll do. I'll send a butler and a baker down there. I'll work this all out. And you know, the rest, they say, is history. You know that God is working in your life in ways like that, and we don't even know it? You might have been here today. You didn't expect to be here. You may be not, but I was preaching about a month ago in a church. I didn't know. You know, you never know who is sitting in a church service. Just like here was Joseph. I doubt if anybody thought, well, man, sitting there in the loins of Joseph is a Moses that will one day be going down the river Nile in a basket. Sitting there in that jail was a Joshua that would come out of the loins of Joseph and conquer the land. Sitting there in the loins of Joseph was a little David that would slay a giant and would one day be king of Israel. You never know that who's sitting here this morning in this house, that God has a plan for you. Hallelujah. And you don't even know about it. But he's working out the details. Oh, yes, he is. He's able. So you never know. But I didn't know what was going on, but I gave the altar call. And a man on the backside, in the back seat, sitting there with his wife, I didn't know that at the time, he came up and gave his heart to the Lord Jesus that morning. I got to talking with him. His name was Eddie. I said, Eddie, isn't that wonderful? He was just weeping his way to salvation. Found out he was sitting back there with his wife of 40 years, had never went with her to church one time. She had cancer. She woke up that Sunday morning and got ready to go to church. And when she came in the living room, Eddie had his coat and tie on. She looked at him and said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to church with you today. That was a God moment for him. I didn't know it. But he decided if his wife was going to die with cancer, he'd follow her through salvation and meet her there one day. Oh, somebody shout amen. Yeah, yeah. You see, God either put me or him into his future or my future. I don't know how God works it all out. I'm just glad he gave his heart to Jesus. How about it? And who knows but what this morning someone may be here and it's your time. All right. You didn't know I was going to be here. You didn't know what I'd be preaching about. You didn't know what all was going on. But I'll tell you one thing. God knew it a long time before you did. Well, you know the story. Third thing is, and I'm just cutting a lot of stuff out here, God's timing is always perfect. Quit pulling up your radishes and your cucumber, your carrots and checking them out and sticking them back in the ground. They'll get there. Just be patient. Sometimes we have to be patient with God. Because we just can't wait long enough for him to do what he wants to do. All right. So Joseph said, hey guys, whenever you get back up there to Pharaoh, remember me. Here's my card, 13-year prison. The best runner in town from Sugar Lips. Remember me. He got a good case of amnesia and forgot all about Joseph. Until Pharaoh had a dream. No one could translate it. The 1-800 number wouldn't work. The palm readers couldn't do it. I saw one in Apopka yesterday. This little sign blinking. The palm reader. I see all. I hear all. I know all. Now at the bottom it said, honk, so I'll know you're out here. Think about that. Finally he said, oh, wait a minute, Pharaoh. Wait a minute. There's a boy in prison down that I met when I was in prison, he'd tell you what this dream means. He said, well, go get him. No one else could do it. They brought Joseph up, listened to the dream. He said, oh, yeah. Yeah, that means you're going to have 7 years of fat cows. That's what the 7 years of plenty, that's what the seven fat cows mean. And then the seven skinny cows represent 7 years of not much. You better store up in your barns during these 7 years, these seven cows that are fat, because you'll need it when the skinny cows come. So that's where you get the scripture. Boy, never seen a man like this in whom the Spirit of the Lord dwells. There's such wisdom about him. He went from a setback to a comeback. Because look what he did for Joseph. Can't you just see old Potiphar sitting there? I just like to imagine, you know, what's going on with Potiphar at this time, knowing that Joseph is about to get the second chariot. He's been working there and he thinks he's going to get the promotion. But you know, sometimes God skips over people and gives it to somebody else that's been going through a setback. Somebody here needs to know that if you're going through a setback, get ready. God's about to promote you. Oh, yeah. If you're going through hell right now, get ready. God has got a comeback for you. That's what he did for Joseph. Oh, yeah. He said, well, what's my job description, Mr. Pharaoh? He said, well, number one, you're going to ride the second chariot. I ride in the first one now. Now, that's what I do, Joseph. I ride in the first one, but you ride in the second one. Can't you see old Potiphar over there thinking, I better run home, talk to Sugar Lips about this. Goes home real quick. Said, Sugar Lips, come in here, sit down. Do you remember when we had that little slave boy in our house and you accused him of trying to rape you? Let's see. Well, I don't know that. Yeah, well, it seemed like there was. He said, well, you better have been telling the truth about him, because tomorrow I report to him he's my boss. All right. The moral of the story is you better be good to people on your way up. You might meet them on the way back down. He said, now, not only that, now, Joseph, take those chains off of your legs and feet, those prison chains, put a new chain around his neck. Then he took off those old striped prison clothes and put fine linen on him. Must have shopped at Nordstrom's or Dillard's or something like that. I mean, he traded. Now, look, I didn't see this until this morning. You know how you can look over things? He took the ring off of his hand.
All right. I got
it. It might have been a ring his mother gave him. Could have been a ring that his wife gave him. Or could have been something. He took the ring off of his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And then he said, I love this. No man can lift a hand or a foot, Joseph, unless you tell them they can do it. I wonder when he rode down that street in that second chariot, looked over at Potiphar and said, don't you get up, you stay over there. Went by Potiphar's wife. Look at me now. I don't know. I just imagine. And then he said, Joseph, nobody in the land. When you come down the street, they'll have to bow their knee while you pass by. And they'll cry out, bow the knee, bow the knee. Joseph is coming. This little boy that was born in a mess. God brought him out of a mess. This little boy that God put somebody into his future, and he didn't even know it when he was looking at the pit. This little boy that had in his loins a Moses and a Joshua and a David. Elevated him. One of the highest office in the land of Egypt, and made him the CEO of Egypt. By his place. Heavenly Father. Lord, I want you to take this little simple message, these little puny illustrations. If there's a man or woman, boy or girl in this house that is not a Christian, they're not saved, but they want to be, I ask you, Lord, to come into their heart, into their life today. If there's a man or woman or a family, a son, daughter, mom or dad, somebody going through a setback, Lord, I pray that today will be their day, that you will come into their future. And while they're seated right now in this building, they don't even know it yet, but you're about to do something marvelous for them. You're about to do something special in their life. You're going to come into their heart and make them a special person. And who knows what you've got planned for their future. In Jesus' name, every head bowed for just a moment. Every eye closed. No one moving around. This now is the most important part of this service right now. And I just simply want you, if you're here, you're not a Christian, but you want to be, I want you just to lift your hand up, place it right back down, and say, I'm not a Christian, Pastor, but I'd like to be. Pray for me. Lift your hand up, place it right back down. Anybody here? God bless you. God bless you. Any others? I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to be baptized. I'll not embarrass you in any way. But you say, Brother Smith, this message had my email on it. This message had my thumbprint on it. It was for me. If it wasn't for anyone else, I need your prayers. Pray for me, preacher. Lift that hand up. Place it right back down. God bless you. 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 Anybody on this side, just say, pray for me, preacher. I need your prayers. Lift your hand up. Place it right back down. God bless you. Here in the middle section, lift your hand. Place it right back down. Stand, please, all over the building. Oh, Holy Ghost. Well, I just got to do this. I'm not asking you to join the church. Let me make that clear. I'm not asking you to be baptized. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but you have lifted your hand for salvation, or you're going through a setback of some kind, and you just want somebody to pray over you today. I want you to step in the closest aisle to you and come stand across this front. This ought to be about 15 or 20 people of the hands that I saw raised up. I'm not going to ask you to join the church or to be baptized, but if you raised your hand already, come and stand right up here in the name of Jesus. They're coming. Come on, yes. Keep coming. Keep coming. There ought to be at least 15 people, at least 15, maybe more. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, I feel your Holy Ghost power. Come on. If you raise your hand, I'll not ask you to join the church or be baptized. I'll not embarrass you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.